Hey, good morning and welcome to Grace Bible Church here in Montgomery, Alabama. Today is the second part to a two-part series. So if you missed last week, please go to our website, kjvgracebiblechurch.com, and feel free to send us an email. We'll be glad to send you a DVD with both last week and this week on that DVD so you can have those together. While you're there, you might want to check the archives as well. Okay, so this being the second part, remember three principles in studying your Bible. Okay, 2 Timothy 2:15 is a great place to start. First of all, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, the three principles. One, keep it in context. You got to look at the context of the scripture you're reading. Who's writing it? To whom are they writing? What comes before? What comes after? Okay, get it in context. Okay, by the way, here's a little thing. Matter of fact, somebody that Ashton knows, but context. If you allow me to write the word context like that, okay, context. So if you take the word text out of context, you're left with nothing but a, and unfortunately that happens all too often from these things right here called pulpits. All across America today that's happening. I'm not saying they're all deliberately taking it out of context, but I'm saying they haven't thought about putting it in context. If they would, it would greatly help them understand the scriptures. Okay, second, what do you believe and why? I should be talking to the TV. What do you believe and why? It's got to be founded in this King James Bible, okay? Not because Steve Gottberg preaches it to you, not because some other pastor preaches it to you, not because mama said, daddy said, granddaddy taught me, okay? You've got to see it for yourself in the scriptures, okay? We've got hundreds of denominations today. You're not, when you get before the Lord, you're not going to say, well, this pastor taught me or that Bible teacher, no. I gave you a Bible. What did you do with it? You make sure you understand what you believe and why. And when you do listen to a man like today, you're listening to me. Thank you for being here. But make sure you be like the Bereans in Acts chapter 17. The Bible calls them more noble in that they search the things that were taught from the pulpit to test whether they were so. Don't take my word. Go home and study it out. All right, those are our principles. So I left the diagram here from last week. Okay, again, if you start about 4,000 years before Christ, Genesis through Malachi, the Old Testament we call it, okay, covers that 4,000-year time period. Then, what commonly called the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the four Gospels talk about the 33-year period. 90% of it is about a 3-year period prior to the crucifixion, and 90% of it is written to 12 men and 12 men only. It is not written to the masses, contrary to popular belief. Go back, check it out for yourself. But watch where he pulls the 12 aside many times. Okay? Yes, they were there with the multitudes, but many times he pulls the 12 aside, and then he starts the preaching. Well, the masses did not hear it. The 12 were the only ones, in many cases, that heard it. Okay, that being said, so then we went into the book of Acts, which follows historically. Okay, this is April of the year 29 AD, the crucifixion of Christ. Acts chapter 1 picks up. Okay, at the beginning, you have 40 days of Christ teaching the 12 something, but the scriptures do not reveal to us. Then Christ ascends into heaven, and the 11 stand there and watch him ascend into heaven. Then, at the end of Acts chapter 1, the apostles realize we need to pick a 12th apostle to sit on that 12th throne when we judge the 12 tribes of the thrones of Israel in the future, when Christ returns. So they cast lots, and Matthias becomes the 12th apostle, not Paul. Acts chapter 2, Peter preaches his murder indictment. That man that you killed, that you crucified, he is both Lord and Christ. Men and brethren, what shall we do? Repent, and Peter says, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3, we see Peter again preaching murder indictments. We see again Peter saying, repent that your sins may be blotted out when the times of restitution shall come out there at the second coming, at the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's when their sins would be blotted out. All right, then at the very end of Acts chapter 4, and we're still about a year after the crucifixion at this point, the very last part, they sold everything out to have it common, and that's the part, you know, us preachers love to talk about, right? Let's bring it up here and bring it to the foot of the altar. No, that's not. It's a different church, different program, different time period. But I want you to see how serious it was at that time period, and that's where we pick up today now as we begin in Acts chapter 5. So turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 5. I'm just going to read the last verse of chapter 4, verse 37. Having land, sold it, and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. They are having all things common. This is the entire church now after Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, left the earth. This is that church on earth. The church collectively was having all things common. Now, maybe that was just something if they wanted to do it, right? Well, let's see. Verse 5, chapter 5. But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. Stop right there. So you see what happened here. Ananias and Sapphira, husband and wife, they sell their land. They bring most of it to the apostles' feet. Just in case this doesn't work, maybe we better keep a little bit in the back pocket here. Well, okay, there shouldn't be anything that wrong with it, right? Back then, they're still tithing as part of the law, and 10%. Well, what if I only tithe 8%? Just, to, you know, whatever. How serious is this? Okay, let's watch. Verse 3. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? By the way, that's blaspheme right there. And to keep back part of the price of the land. Peter knew it. How did he know that? The Holy Spirit revealed it to him. Verse 4, while it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. He died. Did Peter have some serious power? And I'm not saying Peter killed him. Peter speaking those words, and Ananias falls dead right there. And what happens after that? And great fear came on all them that heard these things. I'd be pretty fearful too if one man could have that much power. Wow. Okay, so they're pretty serious about this program. That's a point I want to make, and I better get on with it here. Okay, so in Acts chapter 5, we're still about a year out. So have all things common, you know, in here. And remember, in addition to having all things common, we've got signs, we've got wonders, we've got miracles, we had healings we talked about earlier, and something I missed at the end of chapter 2, I want to flip back there. Flip back to Acts chapter 2, and that's tongues. Tongues were also going on at this time period. But again, counterfeits, healings. We looked at what healings were for. The true reason for healings. Let's look at true tongues. We'll see them right here in verse 7. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born? They spoke in tongues, and it was a language. Verse 9. Parthians and Medes and Elamites and dwellers in Mesopotamia and Judea and in Cappadocia, in Pontus, in Asia, on and on and on. And then verse 11, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. They were specific languages, gang. Okay, there were people gathered from all over. They were at Day of Pentecost, right? They had to come for the Day of Pentecost. That's why you have people of different languages here. That's why the 12 had to speak in different languages. And that was a gift of God to these men, okay? So we also had tongues going on back here. The Bible tells you clearly what they were. Okay, so again, just setting it back. So Acts 2, 3, 4, 5, again, about a year after the crucifixion. This is what's going on. Okay, so that's chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira. And by the way, then of course she comes in, she also is falls dead. Verse 14, and believers were the more added to the Lord, not added to the church, added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women. Okay, very, very key there. So the church that's there is growing. Multitudes are being added. Okay, now watch verse 15. All these people are being added, insomuch that they brought... Okay, verse 14. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women. Let me back up before the parentheses. Verse 12. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. Skip the parentheses, go to verse 15. Insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on the beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter... Wow, is that power? Just the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities rounding about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, that they were healed. Just the shadow of Peter passing over them might heal them is what these people are looking at. Okay, again, why we studied last week, Leviticus chapter 1, 16 through the end of the chapters where you can go back there and read. Okay? Because to be a priest, you could not have a blemish. By the way, churches today, denominations that do these healings today, let's go back and read the rest of 16. I think I missed two or three words at the very end there. The last phrase, and they were healed, every one. Whoa. Once again, let's look at what it really was. How do you identify counterfeit? By studying what the real thing was. Some of these TV evangelists that get up there and are bopping people on the head and healing, give me a break. That's a disgrace. And they make it look like two or three maybe do get healed, but does your Bible, if you have a King James Bible, it says they were healed every one. And if you've ever gone to one of those, you'll see at the very back they have, I'm going to call them bouncers. Anybody that's really lame, like lame from their mother's womb, they're not allowed to come down front. They're stopped in the back of the room. Go and find out. They want to know why, what it is you need to be healed of before you get down front there. Don't want to look bad. It's a farce. Okay, so that's chapter 5. We're back on to now. Again, we're still into healings because we're talking to a potential future kingdom of priests here. All these Jews that are here. Okay, so moving on. Now we get to Acts chapter 6. Okay, Acts chapter 6. And this is when the apostles have to go before the council at this time. All right, and I need to get moving here. So then Acts chapter 7. We move ahead about 4 or 5 years. Okay, Acts chapter 6, Acts chapter 7. Okay, we're out here about 6 years, plus 5 to 6 years, after the crucifixion. And this, of course, is the stoning of Stephen. Some people would say that's the fall of the Jewish church right there. Certainly some major changes start happening right after this. Okay, we're not going to read the passage. Just know that it's about AD 35, again, about 6 years after the crucifixion. I want to get time frames here. Remember last week, this morning, I started with but now. Okay, and we're trying to set up that but now because Paul wrote that 25 years after this crucifixion is when he said in Romans chapter 3, but now in Romans 16, but now. So we're trying to establish the time frame to help us understand a little better what but now means. You know, in relation to what? Like I said, this morning I woke up in Mobile, Alabama, and we drove for a couple hours, but now I'm here before you in Montgomery. Okay, that's different than what happened before. Okay, verse 7 is where Stephen gets stoned. Watch some things that are key here right at the very end. 59 and 60, verses 59 and 60 of chapter 7. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice. And this is so key. Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Fell asleep in the Lord. He died. Okay? This is Stephen when he died. Acts chapter 7. Now, why was that so key? Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. Actually, let's go back to verse 51. Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, this is Stephen talking, ye do always resist who? The Holy Ghost. All right, now why is that important? Keep your hand here and flip back to Matthew chapter 12. Remember, they blasphemed who now? Oh, they blasphemed who? The Holy Ghost is what the Scriptures just told us. Compare spiritual things with spiritual. Okay, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. The last thing Stephen says before dying, before giving up the ghost. Matthew chapter 12, and let's go to verse 31. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh the word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him. And watch this. Neither in this world, neither in the world to come. You can never, if you, in this time period, let's get it in context, okay? Up here, you know, where this was written was here in this time period. We're six years after the crucifixion. And Stephen says, lay not this sin being the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost, lay not this sin against their charge. Why? Because he knew they were doomed to hell if the Lord would not forgive them of this blasphemy, just like Ananias and Sapphira committed blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. Gang, they're in hell. Don't let any preacher tell you, well, they just died then, but they were part of the church. No. They had to hold out to the end. They did not hold out to the end, did they? They kept back there in Acts 5 a little bit in their back pocket in case it didn't work. Okay, it shall not be forgiven you. Okay, back to Acts chapter 8. Watch this. Acts chapter 8, verse 1. And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at their time, there was great persecution against the church was at Jerusalem. Go back there to verse 7:58, Acts chapter 7, verse 58. And cast him out of the city and stoned him, and their witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. Chapter 8, verse 1. And Saul was consenting unto Stephen's death. Is he committing blasphemy there? Yes. And against whom? The Holy Ghost. Doctrine at that time. Could Paul ever be forgiven that sin? No. No way, no how. There was nothing he could do. If he'd have died between Acts chapter 8 and Acts chapter 9, Paul would be in hell. Make no mistake about that. He blasphemed the Holy Ghost. And by the way, had a new gospel never come into the picture, under the gospel that Peter preached, could Paul ever have been forgiven that sin that he committed right there? No. But now, thank you very much. But now, in a little bit here, you're going to find out that a new gospel comes into the picture. And that gospel tells us something different than what the Apostle Peter preached back here in 2 and 3 and 4. It's something different. Praise God for it. Praise God for it. Okay, so Acts chapter 8. And if you go down to 6, and the people with one accord have heed unto these things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Well, one of the things I miss here in 6, there were 7 more men, if you will, that became like semi-apostles. Okay, Stephen being one of those, if you will. Okay, but anyway, let's move on. Because we're getting to the transition from Peter to Paul. That's one of the things that the book of Acts is all about. It's about the fall of Israel. You have a church that's starting here, and these are some of the characteristics of it. And basically, throughout the book of Acts, it's a fall. A falling away. And right here in Acts 7, that stoning, it probably should go like, you know, this. Because that was major league when they stoned Stephen. When he just basically recounted. That's, if you just read Acts chapter 7, if you want to know the history of Israel, it's a great summary right there. That's exactly what Stephen does the whole time. Okay, Acts. So, after Acts 8, now we get into Acts chapter 9, which just happens to be about 7 years after the crucifixion of Christ. Coincidence? I don't know. But what's the number of completion in this King James Bible? 7. You know, I don't know if it means anything or not, but it just happens to be about 7 years after the crucifixion is Acts chapter 9. And this, of course, is the conversion of Paul. At the beginning of Acts chapter 9, Paul's doing what? He's getting 9:1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. He went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, remember in your King James Bible, this way is always this church that Peter is starting. That way is the church which is the body of Christ. Any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. Chains, handcuffs. Okay, that's what Paul's getting ready to do here. On the way, and we all know this story, and again, for this discussion, I want to get past, but you know, in 7, 8, 9, the Apostle Paul is blinded, and this is where he's saved. You know, many times when you read about the appearing, it's this appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ to Paul in Acts chapter 9. So Acts chapter 9, Paul is saved. Okay, now, and forgive me for not reading, so please be like the Bereans and search what I'm saying now, because of time, I'm getting on with this. Acts chapter 10, Peter goes to Cornelius. So this is the introduction of Paul, of Saul, in Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 10, now we come back to Peter. And what does Peter do? For the first time, he goes to who? A Gentile. And when he gets there, he says, I don't know why I'm here. Not only that, it's forbidden that I'm here. Come on, gang, don't let anybody tell you, oh, Peter started bringing it to the Gentiles. He didn't know why he was there. He said, I'm forbidden. After he was there, he wouldn't tell anybody about it because he knew he wasn't supposed to be there. Okay, Acts chapter 11, 12. Let me get out here to 13. Would you have believe? So Saul is saved right here in Acts chapter 9. 10 years later, Acts chapter 13 in your Bible is the first time that the Apostle Paul even preaches. And this is 10 years after this. This is 17 years after the crucifixion. Again, I'm trying to get the context of, but now. Okay, things are happening in the background. During this entire 10 years, Paul gets saved for 10 years. Time's going on. Peter and the 12 are getting on with it still, okay? But the Bible doesn't tell us much about it. And it sure doesn't tell us about what Paul's doing during those 10 years. But in Acts chapter 13, so let's flip there, Acts chapter 13. Here's the first time Paul preaches the gospel of Christ in your King James Bible. I'm sure he preached it plenty of times during that time. But in your Bible, when it shows up, 10 years after he was saved, verse 38, be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, Jesus Christ, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things, from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Okay, first time Paul preaches the gospel in your King James Bible. Flip to Romans chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. Therefore, by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and prophets. Do you understand? Things changed. verse 22, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But now, if he says but now, that means it's contrary to what's being preached. Now, Acts chapter, Romans and Corinthians were written out here in about, between Acts 19, Acts 20. Camera, can you get that okay? We are now plus 25 years after the crucifixion, and he's saying, but now. Flip over to Romans chapter 16. The last part. So this is, again, Romans, the first book the Apostle Paul wrote that shows up in your King James Bible. Not the first one he wrote, but the first one that shows up. 16:25, he says, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel. And the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest. It's just now showing up. Why was it hid? Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Should just be a page or two you're flipping over. Here's why it was hid in Scriptures. 2, verse 8. Verse 7, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world known, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. That's why it was a mystery. Yell the numbers out, please. That's why this was a mystery. They wouldn't have crucified him, but we know when he died, he shed his blood to pay the price for our sins. All you have to do is trust him.